Sunday the 12th of September 2021, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Building a Future. Sermon title, It Starts with Prayer. Bible reading, Nehemiah chapter 1. And the talk is by Reverend Martin Court.
Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah's prayer. The words of Nehemiah, son of Halakiah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, whilst I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judea with some men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws that you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you amongst the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favour in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jenny. Lord Heavenly Father, we're here celebrating new life today. Ilalia has come and been baptized into your family. Lord, we want to celebrate new life in us. And I pray that you would open our hearts to new life today, Lord, for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. So, folks, just a couple of questions just to start us off, get us going, kind of warm us up a little bit. Here's the first one. How long did it take to build St. Paul's Cathedral? Anybody got... Julian's not allowed to answer it because he works there. And he shows people around and he tells them the history of it. He's not allowed to say anything. How long did it take to build St. Paul's Cathedral? Anybody? 25 years. Close? Anybody else? 50. 50 years. Colin at the back there, it was 50 years. 10 years to design it, 40 years to build it. So I'm told. What about this one? Anybody know where this is? Where's that? Great Wall of China. How long did it take to build the Great Wall of China? 100 years. Any more on 100? Any advance? 200. Higher or lower? 20 years. Oh, we're all disappointed, aren't we? Just 20 years. 50 for St. Paul's Cathedral, 20 for... What about the Shard? How long did it take to build the Shard? 4? 5? It's like an auction, isn't it? We're going up here. 12 years. 12 years from its conception to its opening. 12 years. How long did it is it taking to build Crossrail? I'm only joking, we're not going to look at Crossrail. What a nightmare that is, isn't it? Listen, for all you quizzers out there, I got the answers off of Google. If it's wrong, don't blame Martin, blame Google. What about, here is a sensible question, what about the refurbishment here? How long do you think Martin has personally been working on the refurbishment here? 10 years. How many?
10.
13. 13 less a couple of months. We're 13 years in February, and I've been working on it all of that time. How long have some of you been dreaming about the refurbishment? When did that start? How long ago? 25? 35? We're going to come back to that. Hands up if you've ever built something. Hands up if you've ever built something. One or two putting their hands up, but it should be all of us. Because we're all building all the time. We're building our lives. We're building our relationships. We're building all sorts of things all the time. Building takes the form of many, many things. Not just bricks and mortar. And so too here in the book of Nehemiah. We're talking about building walls, but not really. Not really. We're talking about Israel becoming Israel again. Let's just have a quick look at Nehemiah. This is all taking place in the 20th year of Persian king Artaxerxes. Did I say that okay? Yes. Ah, good. For whom Nehemiah is a slave. He's a cupbearer. We love to get our children to... Darling, go get me a cup of tea. That's what I say. Get me a drink, get me a little glass of wine or something. But back then, it was a job. And it was a good job because it meant that you've got the ear of the king. You're taking him in his morning coffee and his papers and you're having a little chat with him. And that's important for Nehemiah. Not today, but across the sermon series, that's going to be an important thing. He's got the ear of the king. Basically, you remember Israel is conquered by Babylon. Back in the day, Nebuchadnezzar, and they get carried off from Jerusalem. That's how Jerusalem gets vacated and whatever. And they go and they serve as slaves in Babylon. And we get that wonderful psalm, Psalm 137. But it was also in 1978, a hit for Boney M, for those of you who can remember back to 1978, by the rivers of Babylon. We remember Zion, we wept. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? But back then, the ups and downs were much worse than the Premier League. I hope everybody is praying for Tottenham Hotspur. Goodness me, we fell apart, didn't we? Nobody's praying for Tottenham. Nobody likes... No, just me. Okay, back then, the ups and downs were worse than the Premier League. And so Babylon came in as conquerors. But look out, here comes Persia. And Babylon gets conquered. And we're now in this Persian empire. This Persian guy, King Cyrus, comes and we're in Babylon, but we're now being ruled by Persia. Artaxerxes, I nearly got it the second time. And basically, he's a nice guy. Basically, he is like Sergeant Wilson in Dad's Army. For those who remember Sergeant Wilson in Dad's Army, he didn't really like all that fighting and stuff. He just wanted everybody to get on. And Nehemiah's big mate, Ezra, he's got a book in the Bible as well, are like that with King Artaxerxes. They're like that. And so we get back to the story. We're told that we are in the month of Kislev. And that's really important for us to know and understand because Kislev means dreams, the month of dreams. We love to dream, don't we? So this is late autumn, it's November, December time in the Gregorian calendar, the month of dreams, the month of visions, the month of thinking what might be. That's what happened here in St. Chad's 30, 35 years ago, whatever it was. St. Chad's had its own time of Kislev, a time of dreams and of visions where one or two Christ-centered folk began to get a vision from God about what might be, what could be, what's possible. Our preschool came out of that thinking, but it's way bigger than just the preschool. Anyway, long story short, God places Jerusalem on Nehemiah's heart. That's what God does. He places things on our heart that he wants us to go and sort out. At the baptism last week, what a service that was. Again, an amazing time of celebration and shining the light of Jesus into people's lives. But last week, I spoke about this holy mystery. But I talked about the holy mystery of how God is active in our lives. But the other side of holy mystery is how God wants you and me to be active in his kingdom here on earth. And just like here 30 years ago, God placing family support and community engagement on the hearts of Anne and Marion and other people. I don't even know who was involved back then. But God placed community support on their hearts as a vision of the future of this church. And that's exactly what God is doing here with Nehemiah. The wall is broken down, the gates have been burned, and I want to raise Jerusalem back up, says God. And I want to make it a beacon of light in the darkness that was prevailing in that time. And folks, this works on so many levels. You can take what I'm going to say today to be about the UK. You can take what I'm saying today to be about Chadwell Heath and the work of St. Chad's. Or you can take what I'm saying today to be about you, individually. But three quick thoughts. The first thought is this: old walls must come down before new walls can be built. Old walls must come down before new walls can be built. I was out the other day in a taxi. I was driving along with a taxi driver. You know what it's like. You sit in the back, but you've got the window open. You're chatting to the driver as he's going along. And we're chatting away, talking about how brilliant Tottenham are. And I could see clearly, we're on a long straight road, set of traffic lights coming up. Traffic lights are red. I can see that clearly. Whoosh, straight through. I said, did you see that was... Oh, yeah, he said, yeah. I said, it was a red light. Oh, yeah, he said. I said, you didn't stop? No, he said, no. No, my brother doesn't... We're driving along, another set of traffic lights. It's clearly red. I've already had a go at him once. Straight through. I said, that was a red... Yeah. He said, my brother always... Yeah, he said, don't worry. He said, come on, another set of traffic lights. They're green. He stops. I said, the green... He said, my brother might be coming the other way. You know, I love the Alcoholic Anonymous quote, you cannot do the same thing and expect different results. What is Nehemiah's kind of first stanza in his prayer? It was this: Lord, let your ears be attentive, let your eyes be open to the prayer of your servant, praying day and night, la-di-da. I confess our sin. We have acted totally against the way that you wanted us to act and that you have asked us to be a nation and a people for you. We are not supposed to drive through red traffic lights. Why not? Because it hurts us. It can cause damage to us and it can cause damage to other people. And God says, guys, I'm going to give you a way of living that will prevent you getting damaged. But it's so easy to move away from that. We get into habits. We get into our own comfort zones. What's the phrase we use? He's set in his ways. And we are, because we know what's easy. We don't like change. It was easy for Israel to go along with the religions of the people around them. How many times do we get swept up in peer pressure? Easy for them to walk away from God. What needs to change? If we're going to live new lives in Jesus Christ, if we're going to be a new community of believers in this church, coming out of the pandemic, if we're going to shine the light of Jesus Christ here in Chadwell Heath from St. Chad's, what needs to change? What are the walls that have got to come down? I think God wants to build our walls, repair our gates so that we're ready for new ministry challenges that he's going to give us. And our buildings are going to help that. Our buildings at the moment are dreadful. They're preventing us from doing good works. There's so much more we could do. And so the building is going to be important. But this isn't about buildings. Because if it hasn't got the heart of the people with the heart of God, then it's useless. It's just another building. Might as well be a newspaper shop or a supermarket. What are the walls that need to come down? In the way that we act as a church, in the way that we are as a church. Let me make that personal to you, because this is on so many levels. What are the old walls in you? The habits, the comfort zones, the things that you know that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, but what are they? Because God wants to make you a new person in Jesus Christ with peace and love and hope in your heart. Number two comes right out of that. Know what your walls look like. Know what your walls look like. Nehemiah wept, mourned, fasted, and prayed over the condition of the walls of Jerusalem. I love Greek mythology. I don't know, are there any mythologists out there? No. I love Greek mythology. I don't take it seriously. It's just a bit of fun. I read Stephen Fry's version of Greek mythology because he just fluffs it up and makes it all into funny story and all of that sort of stuff. One of the stories of Greek mythology is about a guy called Narcissus, from which we get our word narcissistic, self-absorbed. And the tale goes that Narcissus is out one day, happens upon a pool of water, stops, kneels down, looks into the water, and there he sees the reflection of a beautiful person, and he falls in love with that person, himself. Because he doesn't know what he looks like. And so when he sees a reflection of himself, he doesn't recognise himself. And it's a cute little story, but the sad truth is that it's true for many of us, for you and for me too. In leadership, we use a thing called the Joe Harry window. It's invented by Joe and Harry. It's a little thing. So we've got open, known to self, known to others. So I know what you're dressed in today because I can see that. You know what I'm dressed in today. So there are things that you know about me and there are things that I know about you. Deeper things, when we get to know people, deeper things. Ask the staff. Yeah, don't ask Martin to do that. He hasn't got a clue. So they'll know things about me. See? And I know about me as well. There's also hidden things that you know about you that I don't know. You know what you had for breakfast this morning. I've got no idea what you had for breakfast this morning. But again, it goes deeper than that. There will be things about you that you know, why you behave in a certain way or, you know, something that's hurt you in the past or whatever it is that I haven't got a clue about. And then there's the unknown. Now, in Christian circles, we say that's the God spot because that's what neither of us know about us. But God does. I don't know what you're going to be doing tomorrow, but God does because he's got a plan for your life. And then we've got this one that we call the blind spot. And you don't have to know somebody for very long before you will know something about them that they don't know about themselves. You can see in them something that they can't see. The idea is, of course, to make that blind spot as small as we possibly can. But I can tell you that's the hardest thing in the world to do because it means you have to be open and honest and truthful with yourself about not only your good things but about your bad things, about your weaknesses, about your challenges too. We're all a bit like narcissists. We fall in love with all the good things about ourselves, but actually the place to get to is to be able to love ourselves warts and all. At the weekend, we get the Times newspaper. This was in the newspaper yesterday. This is by George Harrison. They do little quotes. It's little quotes by people. This is from George Harrison from the Beatles. He said, "You can be standing right in front of the truth and not necessarily see it. People only get it when they're ready to get it." And that is so true. If we can know ourselves, warts and all, then we can start to make a difference and live a new life. God doesn't want us to stay warts and all. He loves us. And he wants to change us from glory into glory. Nehemiah was happy to know the good things, but he was also happy to know what needed changing so that he could go and begin changing it. And the same is true in your life and in my life. What does it mean for you? What does that mean for St. Chad's? We've got to know the spiritual condition of our walls. And then we've got to offer that to God and say, "Lord, would you come and be our strength, be our help, be our guide. Rebuild those places in our lives that need rebuilding." And I can't do that for you as individuals. You've got to do that. That's your journey. But as the leader of this church, I can do this for St. Chad's Church. And so in the short future, I'm going to be sending out an anonymous email with a survey monkey on it to as many people as are on our database, on our email. And I'm going to ask you the question, where are we as a church? What's going well as a church? What's going badly as a church? What do we need? Because I think we're on the steps of something really special here. The future is bright. We're coming out of pandemic. And I think God is calling us to do mighty things in the community of Chadwell Heath. And I want to know what you think. And I want you to be honest, warts and all. Because we need to know so that we can build, so that we can plan, so that we can move forward together as a church. And as I say, we can do that in our own lives too, in our families, in our home places, in our work, Know the conditions of your wars. And then lastly, for I must finish, from prayer to praise. God is the great and awesome God. Nehemiah begins with praise to God. He anchors his prayer on the great attributes of God, Yahweh. God is faithful even when we are faithless. I was listening to a guy called Nicholas Henshaw the other day. He's the dean of our cathedral here in Chelmsford. He's a fantastic guy, great orator. I was listening to him, and he reminded me that we worship not because we feel good. Sometimes we don't feel good. But he says we still worship because God is good. Back in Babylon, Israel stopped worshipping. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? What they didn't know was God is good. He is faithful and he is going to move you. So keep singing. Keep praising. Keep rejoicing, because even when you are weak, God is strong. Even when you are stuck, God is unblocking that and moving you forward. Nehemiah sat before God in honesty. That's all that prayer is. It's just honesty. Offering ourselves to God, whether that's nationally, locally, personally. And then as we're going to see over the next few weeks, God is going to come in and do amazing things with that. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just open ourselves to you again today. And Lord, in our lives, there is so much that is great and going well and doing all of that. But we know sometimes, Lord, we don't serve you as we should. We don't love you as we should. We don't love our neighbour as we should. We don't always think good things about other people. We don't always say good things about other people. Heavenly Father, would you come in by the power of your Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do for ourselves? Would you strengthen us? Would you turn us from temptation? Would you renew us, lift us, and move us forward in your kingdom, where there is peace and joy and hope and love and grace and mercy for us today? And we pray that in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.